Item eight, report and possible discussion on draft divestiture policy. Matt Phillips.
As Phil told you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to brief or rebrief somewhat for the benefit of the public, do a kind of a policy update on the divestiture policy, and then after me, we're going to basically have three very interrelated topics. After me, Kent Rendy is going to get up and speak. Actually, John Baker is going to speak first about the appraisals, and then Kent Rendy will get up and speak. Lake Ranger scope of operations and our negotiations with the county.
Pat, could you use a mic? I'm having trouble hearing.
I can pull it up here. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of go through some of the comments we received both from members of the public and also one director and one member of our staff. The first one is that the shoreline guide should apply only to the buffer zone as proposed to the entire, as opposed to the entire property. Obviously, our answer to that is the language of the existing divestiture policy and the shoreline management guide are sufficient. The shoreline guide by its own terms applies to leased property. Now, any restrictions that will be placed on the property will be done through declarations. However, the shoreline guide will continue to apply only to leased property. Therefore, you know, by its very nature, it won't apply to purchased property. With regard to the homeowners association requirement, there is a requirement currently in the divestiture policy that requires you join a homeowners association or form one or join one when one is formed. We're obviously removing that. Some folks had some heartburn with that and didn't think it was necessary, and we agree with that. With regard to we got one which we thought was very good. We thought we covered this with the single family residential requirement, but it obviously doesn't hurt to emphasize it or state it even further, to place a restriction on a purchaser's ability to subdivide the property. And obviously, we will do that. We're going to amend the policy to say that at no time shall it be subdivided and inhabitable structures be built on it. Let's go to the next slide. The first one on this slide came from Director DeCluitt, and it was a good suggestion. Initially, the lease termination language in the policy, it was mentioned, but it wasn't very specific, and there wasn't a recognition by both parties that the lease itself did terminate at closing. And so what we will do is we're going to add to the draft policy a provision that addresses that basically says at closing, a document will be executed by both parties that says the lease has terminated, and we're also going to draft that document and have that as one of the closing documents. Okay, the next one came from John Dixon, and what it has to do with is there are several, as you've heard, there are several different appraisal forms one can use, ranging from this thick to this thick. What we're going to do is require that all appraisals be done via the same format, whether they be our appraisal or the lessee's appraisal or a prospective purchaser, or the third appraisal that's done by the third appraiser in the process. We're going to require that they all be done on the same form so that everybody's looking at the same thing. Okay, next slide. The next thing we want to do is fill in the blanks. As you know, the draft policy that's currently online has several blanks. The first thing was the amount of the application fee. That fee is going to be set at $1,000 to cover the administrative costs for the BRA for handling this policy. The timeline between surplus declaration and closing, between when the board declares it surplus and when the property will close, we set at 60 days. The earnest money requirement, we remove that. Obviously, the reason we remove that is because this isn't a typical sale where one prospective buyer is tying up the property so that other prospective buyers can't look at it. This isn't that kind of sale. Only one person can buy it, so there's really no need for an earnest money provision. So we've gotten rid of the 1% earnest money provision of the policy. There is still a feasibility period, and we've set it at 30 days, after which the purchase-sale agreement may not be terminated. Now, as far as appraisals and surveys, and like I said, John Baker is going to get up after me and talk about appraisals and hiring of an appraisal firm, but the way we envision this with regard to leasing and divestiture and how they're going to be interconnected is that the appraisal firm will create an overall process for appraising the property for leasing purposes. And we hope and we're envisioning that process will be very transparent and be very user-friendly for us, definitely, so that eventually it's something that we can begin to do on our own and not need an outside firm. And as far as properties being sold, they will be appraised by the same firm on an individual basis initially. Eventually, the appraisals that are done for leasing will be able to be used to determine sale values. With regard to surveys, as we discussed, the need for an overall survey of the property is already apparent. It's something that we're going to need to do And so we will, staff will develop an RFP to retain a survey firm to do an overall survey of all of our property, which will, among other things, specifically identify the project area. It'll also identify other aspects of the property for leasing and for divestiture. We will cover the cost of surveying the properties for divestiture as part of the overall survey process. With regard to where we're moving out, like I said, staff is in the process or will begin developing an RFP to retain a survey firm. Next slide. Our ongoing tasks and issues. The first one has to do with our negotiations with the county. Our initial meetings with the county have been very positive. I think we both recognize the best thing that they've said is that they recognize their responsibility to carry out many of these things, like law enforcement, road maintenance. They recognize that it is something that they should be doing. We agree with that, obviously. With regard to platting, there was an initial indication from the county that BRA, you may need to plat all of this property and or do a subdivision plan. Obviously, that would be extremely expensive. Not only would it be expensive, it would be extremely time-consuming. We would rather not have to do that. And so we have begun in our negotiations with the county on law enforcement and roads to insert the idea of the platting issue, hoping that we can work with them on that to recognize that these lots have been there for over 50 years. They're subdivided based on their leases. You know they're there. And those discussions have been well received. So that's working very well. with regard to FERC, it's apparent that divestiture could raise questions regarding the status of structures in the FERC buffer. The reason for that is whether the structures are grandfathered or not, there's an idea that when you divest the property, the lease, the residential lease itself, terminates, and those structures were grandfathered via the purposes or for the purposes of residential leasing. That's why they were allowed to be there, via some sort of residential lease and or legal agreement. So it's possible that when you divest and terminate that lease, that the status of the grandfather or the status of their existence in general is called into question. We are currently assessing that issue with the help of our FERC counsel, and we hope to bring you more information as we continue to go forward. One of the things to remember to think about is whenever BRA went in 1980 to ask to have structures grandfathered, they didn't get a list of them. They didn't do a survey. They didn't understand how many they had. All they said was, we have hundreds. We have hundreds of these. They never said which ones or exactly how many. So it's likely, and this speaks to the overall survey, before we can understand what FERC's going to do or what we can even ask FERC, we have to understand how many encroachments we have. We have to know how many of these we have out there. And so that's the direction that we're going. You can go to the next slide. Now, this is just to give you an overall idea. Obviously, FERC project area and BRA property beyond FERC. So this gives you an idea of the amount of property that our FERC license covers. And if you'll go to the next slide, this is meant only for visual purposes for you to understand an encroachment, kind of what we mean by that. Obviously, the blue line is the 1,000-foot contour or the shoreline. The red line is the FERC project area. So that gives you an idea of some of the things that we're talking about. You can go to the next slide. These are the ongoing tasks / documents, things that we're working on. Legal property description, outside counsel is working on that with the help, and obviously a survey will play into that. Declaration of restrictive covenants, special warranty deed, we're working on that. Divestiture application form, we've actually already developed one, and outside counsel is reviewing it. Purchase sale agreement, outside counsel is working on that, and the lease termination agreement, we're going to develop that and with a review of outside counsel. One of the things that I should have said at the beginning, and I'll go ahead and say now, these proposed changes are still just proposed. Even though we're talking about them today, the policy itself is still a draft. It's a working draft. It's going to continue to be a working draft until such time as it's brought for the board for final adoption. So these changes that we're discussing making are still preliminary in and of themselves. So I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Let me foot stomp that point. You know, throughout this process, we people like to jump to a conclusion and try to knock understand the logic about how you got to the conclusion. Well, as we go through this and we go up and pick up some of the past sins, or you pick up the rock, we find that there's things under there that we should have done back then that we didn't do, and it creates some difficulty. So everything on there was purposely staffed or stamped draft. And so what's saying is that it could change. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Matt.